Oh man, I'm glad to be here tonight to get to preach to Brother Neil. I know he needs it. I'm telling you right now, Randa does a pretty good job, but I think I can go along with her and kind of go a little bit further down the road. But I tell you, I love Brother Neil. I've told people a bunch of times, Neil Wigley and his family saved my life, and no doubt about it. Our church was in the middle of a building program. We were building a new fellowship building with a gym and all that stuff, and we had a guy build the outside of the building, finish the outside of the building, left nothing but 2x4 studs on the inside. It's a two-story building, and we, the church, were going to finish it. Found out from the fire marshal we had to put 5/8 fire rock, double, on both sides of all the walls, and one of those walls is 26 feet tall. So I'm telling you, I was about to die, and I was, trying to do that and do pastoring and all that kind of stuff, and Brother Neil and Randa and his kids about that, I guess Ashley was seventh grade, but she wasn't about that tall, and then they come on down below all the way in, and the first week, we was in there painting, molding in there on the gym floor. It was concrete at the time. And I just thought, hallelujah, some people that'll work, I'm telling you. And they did, and they did a tremendous job at Calvary and a blessing. And I brought another man with me tonight that has saved my life. Tommy, I knew him when he was a teenager, and he went left for a long time and came back and got saved and accepted Christ as his Savior. For the last 2 years, he's been working in our church as a maintenance person, and he will fix anything. I don't care what it is. He'll tackle it and fix it and everybody else's stuff on top of that. And so he, again, has saved my life. And Neil was saying something a while ago about how if I got Tommy to go do something, what was we talking about? Oh, finishing the gym floor, I would be in there with him? No. I done got past that point. I say, go get it, Tommy. Go on, boy. Go on, get it. Well, hey, I'm glad to be here tonight. Let me ask you this. If you were to try to smell right now, what do you smell in this room? What do you smell? You smell any stink in here tonight? Do any of you stink tonight? The smell. You know, as I get older, it's crazy. My nose has changed in some ways. Things that I know I used to could smell, I can't smell. And then other things I think I never smelled, they just drive me up the wall. Now, one of the things that really gets me is burnt coffee. I can walk in a building and a coffee pot can be 3 miles down there, but if it's been left on and you know how it goes to burning down there at the end, I can smell that smell. Whereas I might not be able to smell a rhinoceros if he was standing right here beside me. It's just crazy how that works. But the Bible talks about how we as children of God are to put off a scent, a fragrance, an aroma. And that scent and aroma is supposed to be of such a nature that it attracts people to the Lord. So I could say to you tonight, what do you smell like? And I would mean from a spiritual standpoint. I could say also, what does this church smell like? You know, how do you smell? What kind of a fragrance or aroma are you putting out to this community? And Tommy, I got here a little bit late today and a little bit early today, and we drove down the road here, and of course we came through 12 roads back through this way from West Ouachita High School and all that, and I'm telling you, beautiful country, beautiful, beautiful country, I'm sure, with a lot of beautiful people. But here you sit right in the middle of all that, and the fragrance that you as a church put off. Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're just going to read a couple of verses beginning in verse 14 and read down through the end of the chapter. Stand with me if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 beginning in verse 14. Now, I'm reading out of the Christian Standard Bible. It's a new translation of Southern Baptist that I've kind of migrated to in the last since Easter, and really enjoying that, but you might have to follow along in your copy of God's Word and try to see where I'm coming. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in Christ's triumphal procession and through us spreads the aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For to God we are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To some we are an aroma of death, leading to death, but to others an aroma of life, leading to life. Who is adequate for these things? For we do not market the word of God for profit like so many. On the contrary, we speak with sincerity in Christ, as from God and before God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, and Lord, speaks to us and leads us to be a pleasing aroma for you, for your sake, for your glory, to make you known. And Lord, I pray for this church family. I pray for each believer that's here tonight and others that are not able to be here tonight, Lord. I pray for them, God, that we would all, as brothers and sisters in Christ, not stink for you, but be a pleasing fragrance to those in this community and all over the world that are being saved. Lord, help us, God, to be led by you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to make a statement to you that really does not make sense. God uses people like me and you. Me and you to do his work in this world. It doesn't make sense. I could tell you who I am, and you would all run out that back door. I could tell you how undeserving I am of the grace of God and the love of God. But you wouldn't know unless you could see inside my brain, my mind. Why God would ever use me is crazy. It's crazy. And the same for you. I don't know you, but I do know you are a sinner. Because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And that the heart is deceitfully wicked. And we in our minds, oh my goodness, none of us have any room for pride, but we can do it. We can get it. We can be it. We can be arrogant. But God uses people like us. Think about who this is that wrote this. This man was a murderer. This man was trying to extinguish the movement of Christ before it could hardly even get off the ground. He was someone who was so arrogant in his righteousness that he was literally prosecuting and taking people to prison who were leaning upon the cross instead of leaning upon the law. And yet God chose to use him. And he chooses to use us. Look at what he says there in verse 14. Thanks be to God who always leads us in Christ's triumphal procession. He leads us. God leads us. Now, I know that in the world and even in the church, we kind of sometimes divide us up into two different worlds. We say we're the clergy, or we're ministers. We're paid people, and you know that's the truth. The Bible says you don't muzzle the ox, but Paul himself, he worked, but he also received offerings, and he took those offerings to other people. But there is this division of lay people and the clergy. And you know, I didn't choose to be in the clergy. God chose me. I ran from God. I didn't want to be known as a preacher. You know, I wanted to be a stud. I wanted to be a quarterback. I wanted to be playing in the NFL, you know. But obviously, the Lord had other plans. He didn't give me quite the tools to get there. But the truth be known, I didn't want to be a preacher. And I don't know any preachers that really want to be preachers if they're really called of God, because it's not what is looked upon with great dignity in our society today. And I bet it wasn't in Paul's day either. But God calls us. And you know, you have to surrender. There may be some of you tonight here, young people or older people, that God is calling you to lay down your life to serve Him in the ministry in some fashion, some way. You don't have to follow the path of me or Brother Neil, because we didn't follow anybody else's path. We need to follow the Lord. We need to be what God wants us to be. And God leads us. And I've had people ask me, I remember back in college, this old boy asked me, he said, "How in the world do you know that God is calling you to preach?" And I said, "Man, you just have to go on faith." God just kept putting it in my heart. I ran from it for years. Just put it in my heart. I couldn't get away from it. And God calls us into the ministry. But that same call that He calls in the clergy, He also has a calling in the lay, in those people who aren't full-time in the ministry. But if you are a child of God, and no doubt Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and they're not all preachers. And he says that always leads us, meaning all of the church, that God is leading you to be a fragrant offering, a pleasing aroma for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I ask you, and I ask myself, I ask Neil, you know, do we stink? Are we laying forth a smell for God that is pleasing to Him? You know, this old thing about not getting along with folks, hating people, being bitter towards people, being unforgiving, that's as un-Christian as you can get. And so many times the church is filled with people like that. I've got a woman in my church. I remember in seminary one time, we had a little class. It was really a class of discussions. You know, this one seasoned professor was kind of over, and it was informal. We would sit around the table, and he made a statement one day in that class. He said, "Every church you go to, there are going to be some people there that'll hate your guts." I said, "Man, not me. Because I guarantee you, when I get there, I'm going to love them. I'm going to do everything I can to help them. They're not going to hate me." Boy, was he right. He was right. I can tell you about a woman right now that if I were to walk by her and I were on fire, she wouldn't spit on me. She can't stand me. And I can tell you, I did everything I knew to do to help her, her family. And that's just the way it is. But that doesn't give any of us excuses to not be nice, to be polite, to be kind, to do everything we can to help, to be forgiving, not to have bitterness. We're to put off a pleasing aroma for God. And God uses people like us. You know, it's crazy how people can get bent out of shape over a foot of land or $10,000. That won't even buy the wheels and the tires on some of these trucks that young kids drive around today. Good night. It is unbelievable what people will hate one another for and over, but not as Christians, not as followers of Jesus. We're to put off a sweet-smelling aroma. By the way, this whole thing about smelling and sacrifices and aroma, it's all about not getting your way. That's what a sacrifice is. You don't get your way on everything and on most things. You got to be willing to give. I mean, it's like a marriage. If you don't give and take, you won't make it. And the same thing with a relationship with your friend. If you don't give and take, you don't make it. And that sweet-smelling fragrance that we put off is a sacrificial movement in your own heart to not be the boss, not be the smart aleck, not be the one who has to have their way. Good night. Think about who we follow. Jesus laid down his life. He was known as the suffering servant. Why would we think that we're supposed to be the big boss and everybody is to do what we say? That pleasing smell comes from sacrificing. Sacrificing your way. I remember years ago, I had a young man in my church who was an assistant manager at Walmart. And he had a guy come into the store that was upset over a Mickey Mouse gas grill. You know, it was one of them China-made cheap things that wasn't working right. And this guy threw a fit about this gas grill. Come to find out, he was a pastor. Now, he didn't tell this manager that he was a pastor. Me and this manager were somewhere else, and I saw this guy, and he said, "Oh, I know him. I know him." And he said, "That guy acted like a complete idiot over that grill." He said, "We gave him a brand new one, but he wasn't satisfied. He acted like an idiot." Now, listen, pastors are not above being idiots. Over nothing. Nothing. I'm telling you, nothing. I just case in point. My wife and I are going to Mexico in the spring. She has been invited to come down there to do a music writing seminar. And because they want her to come, they said, "Well, if your husband would come, he can preach one time. You know, she's going to be doing it for 3 or 4 days." So we've been trying to get plane tickets to Mexico. Our debit card, the limit is $1,500 that you can put on it in 1 day's time. I didn't know that. I thank the Lord for it, though. But anyway, so my wife went to get the plane tickets. They were $800 apiece, $1,600, and they kicked it out. And so she had to go back all through that rigmarole, you know, first Shazam called her and all that. And so then she gets me involved in, "Won't you call the bank, tell them to raise the $1,500. That's what the Shazam people said. So I call the bank, "No problem, Mr. Phillips, we'll do that, you know." And they suppose she goes the next day, goes through all rigmarole, order the tickets, throw it out again. So I call the bank the second time, got this sweet little lady, I wrote her name down, Terry Boswell. And so, you know, I start trying to say, "Man, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. We have that much money in the bank, thank the Lord. And you know, and why will it not? You know, there's a limit, Mr. Phillips, you know, and you can't." And then she goes to this, "Your wife has to call because it's her debit card." I said, "What? The debit card is on both of our account. You know, our name both are on there. She has to call, Mr. Phillips." You know, I could just feel going up there like that. And then I said, "Ma'am, okay, if that's the way you call it." I said, "I guess that's for a good reason. That's a good reason. You know, my wife can't blame on me if she overspends, you know." So I don't know, but I just ate humble pie and went on about my business. And I really, when I was preparing this sermon yesterday afternoon and this morning, I was thinking, I could have a real good illustration if I'd have just blown my cool right there today on that. Because I wanted to. Man, I wanted to. But you see, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that's not an option. We are to be a pleasing aroma. That woman, she lives in Magnolia, 30 miles away. And, you know, it's very possible how the Holy Spirit connects. And she might even know who I am. And I should probably know who she is, you know, and regardless, she probably knew who I was as a pastor. But when you act like an idiot, it puts off a stink. It's not one that leads people to the Lord. It drives them away from the Lord. How many times do you hear the word, you hypocrites? You people down at the church think you're better than everybody else. Think you ought to get a break. I had a woman tell me one time at a hospital, you just think you want us to give you a break because you're a preacher. Oh, man, that's the last thing I want. The last thing I want. Put off the right kind of smell for God. So let's just talk about that for a second. Look at verse 15. For to God we are the fragrance of Christ. We are the fragrance of Christ. We're the best that He's got. We're the ones that He's sending out to change the complete smell of the earth. He wants us to be sweet smelling. So how do we do that? How does that happen? Well, we all know you got to get clean to start with. You got to be saved. John 3:3, Jesus told Nicodemus that night, a Pharisee, a religious person, you have to be born again. You have to be changed. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. We have to get clean. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and turn your life over to Him, you're not clean. You're covered with what you deserve. Your sin shows to the Lord. And you might fake people. You might fake out the church even. But if you in your heart know that you have not gotten clean, been saved, accepted Christ, you can do that tonight. That's the good thing of the gospel. You're alive. You're still here. And you can be saved. Sunday night after church, I had a man, an older man. I'm assuming he's close to 70. He stopped me and he began to tell me, with tears in his eyes, that about 2.5 years ago, been coming to our church probably for 10 years, I'd say 6 years at least, but he said about 2.5 years ago, on a Sunday morning, he said, sitting right over there, he said, I accepted the Lord as my Savior. He said, I haven't told anybody. I haven't told anybody. He said, you're the first person I've told. And what he said, he grew up, his daddy was a pastor. He said, when I was 9 years old, somebody forced me to walk down the aisle. He said, I never got saved. And this guy, he wasn't a person who hated church or hated Christians. He was just kind of gruff, rough. He was a person that could be disagreeable. He was a carpenter. Good fellow. But he was lost. But he was a church member. And he went to church all the time. And he had an opinion. Knew what things ought to be like and how people ought to do things. But he was lost. I'm telling you, if you're here tonight, you can go to church till you have a callus on your behind and it won't get you to heaven. Only the blood of Jesus Christ will save you. You have to be clean before you can put off the right smell for God. Second part of that is you got to stay clean. I heard it described one time, it's like a commode that flushes. You know, that old tank in the back is full of water. And we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we can get flushed out, and we got to be refilled again. We've got to continue to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not a one-time act. You can be have a spiritual high with the Lord, and you can receive the fullness of God in your heart. I did the night I got saved, and but I backslid. I have many times. I've I get off of a spiritual high onto a worldly plane, a selfish plane. But to have the right smell and fragrance for God, let me tell you, this is the key. God's Word. This is the food for your soul. You must let God's Word refresh your soul. Keep you clean in the Spirit of the Lord. And I want to tell you, it's a battle. This old flesh is weak, you know, and it's a battle to stay pure and clean and to not act like you're clean, but be clean, to be filled with the Spirit. And there's so many traps and snares of the devil. It's crazy today in the world that we live in. Nothing surprises you anymore about what somebody who shouldn't be or should be has done or will do. It is unbelievable. And I know your community is like ours. There's just unbelievable. Us sinners. But as a child of God, to put off the right smell, we must stay clean. You know, Acts 1:8 says, when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll receive power. And you'll be my witnesses. Let me tell you, it takes the power of God to stay clean. You can't stay clean in your flesh. In your own power, you can't stay clean. It must be the Spirit of God. Because we just want to give in. We just want to go on cruise. 1 John 2:1, John says that we may not sin. We want the Spirit of God in us to stay clean for His glory and for His honor. And the last thing I'd say about that is you get to a place in your heart and you try to stay there that you hate being dirty. You hate stinking for God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to take every thought captive to obey Christ. I mean, don't let any little part of your life get off serving yourself. But every thought, take it captive to obey Christ. So you get clean, you stay clean, and you hate being dirty. What about this church? You know, I know Brother Neil, know Randa. They're good people. But they're just like all of us. We need a Savior, and we need the power of the Spirit of God. And you know, in churches, just like in individuals' lives, problems can happen. Stuff can go on. Man, I'm telling you, the 32 years I've been at Calvary, we've been through unbelievable stuff. I could tell you story after story after story of stuff that the devil throws out there, or something happens, or somebody does something that the devil just wants to destroy the witness of Christ. Let me ask you, in this community, what do people say about this church? And they're not talking about the buildings. They're talking about you. What do they say about you? What do your neighbors say about you? You know, now like I said, you can't please everybody, because some people are going to be led by the devil to hate anything that's good and godly. But what do people say about you? What do they say about this church? And, you know, that one bad apple, you know, causes a whole bushel to go rotten. That's true in some ways, but those good apples can a lot of times overcome a bad apple. But I remember this. I pastored a church out in a community outside of Arkadelphia, Arkansas. And whoo. It was a church that was 25 years old, and they had had 18 preachers in 25 years. And, man, there was a reason for that. When I got there, I found that out. There was one woman, she could pull her lips down over her teeth and tell you where to get off in a hurry. And here's what she told me after I'd been there about 2 weeks. She said, they're saying good things about us again down on the main street of Arkadelphia. And you know, I've heard that in my brain a million times, because that same person that said that, I'm sure in about 2 months was down there on the main street of Arkadelphia running me down. The church should be a place where all of us love one another. And where we recognize that we are all sinners. And when somebody sins, instead of criticizing and judging them, the Bible says to pray for them. To pray for them. To get between them and their sin and the power of God. And your church is like all churches, filled with sinners. All of us are sinners, saved by grace. But God wants us to put off a smell as a collective body and each of us as an individual that is leading people to Christ. I tell you, this passage, I read this past week, I want to say Friday or Saturday morning, and I read this passage, and where it says that we are to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Man, God just spoke to my heart in that, how everywhere I go every day, the smell I put off of sacrifice is to make people aware that there is God. There is a God. That I worship Him, but not, don't look at me, but the way I act and conduct my life, that people realize there is a God. There is a God. Because our world is filled with people who say there is no God. And you're an idiot if you think there is one. But, you know, I'm telling you, the real idiots are those who don't believe in God. Because you can't, I mean, just creation itself, as Romans 1 says, proclaims who He is. And Jesus told us who He is. And so, put off a good smell for the Lord. Last thing, I'm going to quit. Paul says, some will be saved and some will stay lost. That is not our department. And I'm going to tell you, as a preacher, and if you take seriously being a sweet-smelling sacrificial fragrance to the world, and you don't see a lot of people come to faith because of your witness for God, that's not your department. Because I can tell you, I have stood right here many times after worship service, where I knew there were people who were lost, people who were running from God, and there'd be no movement. And I've had friends that were lay people that took serious about being a godly person on the job site and living for the Lord and try to help lead people to Christ. And it seemed like forever, you know, and no result. I've heard of missionaries who've been on foreign mission fields and given their life, and nobody except Christ. See, that's not our department. Our department is the smell. Our department is the sacrifice. Our department is to be who God wants us to be. And when we do that, we don't have to worry about what happens beyond it. That's God's department. I've got a list right here in my Bible right now. I can show it to you. This is men. Guys in my community, they're all around our community. Men, and I guarantee you got them here. They all got families. They got wives and kids. But these are the men. And most everyone on this card right here is lost. Is lost. How can I help those men come to Christ? Be friendly to them. Love them. Try to help them any way I can. When they do something stupid and dumb, don't jump on them. Pray for them. Put off the smell of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the one who convicts. He is the one who speaks to their heart. I can pray, and I better be praying for him. But I also better be living for him every day. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? What's God saying to you?